Shabbos Daf Ayin Gimel. If you intended to throw something two amos, but you ended up throwing it four amos, in which case you'd be chayav, you'd be doing the act of transferring because you're throwing it four amos, right? But you only intended to throw it two. Rav is going to say you're putter because you didn't intend to throw it four amos, and Abai is going to say you're chayav because you still intended to do an act of throwing. If someone thought that they were throwing in a private domain, but they were really throwing in a public domain, right? If you're throwing in the private domain, that's fine. But if you're throwing in a public domain there, then you're transferring in the public domain, which you're going to be chayav for transferring. Rav is going to say, though, you're putter because you didn't intend to throw it in an usher way. You thought you were in the private domain, but Abai is going to say, no, you're chayav because you intended some form of throwing. So now we brought down a couple of different machlokas in between Abai and Rava, and the Gemara is going to say we needed to say all three of these arguments of Abai and Rava. Two of them, like we just said, and the third is the one where you cut the detached. You intended to cut something detached from the ground, but you ended up cutting something attached. Rava said you're putter there. Abai says you're chayav in that case. Now the Gemara is going to go through why we needed all three of those cases. If it only taught the first case where you intended to cut something detached, but you ended up cutting something attached to the ground, that's where Rava says you're putter because you didn't intend to do an usher form of cutting. However, in the second case where you threw something four amos with the intention to throw it two, maybe Rava would agree with Abaye because there, when you threw it four amos, you didn't fulfill your original intention of throwing it two amos, so your intention was filled. And then you did something beyond your intention, but you still did your original intention, so maybe Rava would agree with Abaye. So that's why we had to teach that, to show that even Rava says you're putter in this case. And if it only taught the second case where you threw it four, meant to throw it two, I would say that's where Rava says you're putter because here you still weren't intending to throw it the four amos. However, when you thought that you were in the private domain, but really you were in the public domain in the third case, there you intended to throw out four amos and you completed your intention. You just were in the wrong domain that you thought you were in. So there, maybe Rava would agree with Abaye. That's why we need all three to show that Rava says you're putter in every case. Now we're going to bring a challenge to Rava. The Mishnah says there are 39 malachos, and Rabbi Yochanan we know says the reason it specifies the number 39, even though we could just count it ourselves, to teach that if you did all 39 malachos by accident, you would be liable to bring a carbon chatas for every single malacha that you violate. So this makes sense for Abaye, because in the second case Abaye says you are chayav to bring a carbon chatas if you miscalculated the extent of your action, right, where you want to throw it two amos but you ended up throwing it four amos, because then we have a case where can you be liable for all 39 malachos where you knew that it was Shabbos and you knew what you were doing was malacha, but the reason you're chayav is because you didn't know the extent of your act. You didn't intend to do it as much as you did, and because you, even though you didn't have the intention for the full extent of what you did, thereby you're still going to say you're chayav. But according to Rava, who says that you're putter when you miscalculated the extent of your act, what's the case according to Rava where you're going to be chayav for all 39 malachos, where you could be chayav to bring multiple chatas karbanos? It's the case where you knew it was Shabbos, but you didn't know what you were doing was malacha, right? You knew it was aser, but you didn't know what you were doing was malacha. So this is good according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says if you knew something was aser, but you didn't realize there was karis involved, meaning you knew that there was an iser of Shabbos, but you didn't know about the malachos, there Rabbi Yochanan would say you have to bring a karban chatas. But what about for Reish Lakish, who says that you can't know either about the Isser or about the Kares? That's the only time you're going to be liable to a Chatas, if you had no knowledge of the Isser and no knowledge of the Kares. If you had no knowledge of Shabbos and no knowledge of the Malachos, how would you have any knowledge of Shabbos, according to Reish Lakish, in this case, that you'd be liable to bring a Chatas, right? Because you can't know about Shabbos, you can't know about Malachos. So, as we know, the answer is that he knew about the Tchumen. He knew about the law of the Tchum, that you can't travel more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos, and this is going like Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Tchum is the Deoraisa matter, so even though you didn't know about the Malachos, you did have knowledge about Shabbos. The Mishnah says, the next Mishnah, these are the 39 Av Malachos: sowing, plowing, reaping, gathering, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, shearing wool, whitening the wool, disentangling it, dyeing it, spinning it, mounting the warp, setting two heddles, weaving two threads, removing two threads, tying a knot, untying a knot, sewing two stitches, tearing something so that you could sew two stitches, trapping an animal, slaughtering it, skinning it, salting it, tanning its hide, smoothing it, cutting it, writing two letters, erasing so that you can write two letters, building, demolishing, extinguishing, kindling a fire, putting the finishing touch on a job, like the finishing touch on something you're making, and transferring from one domain to another. These are the 39 Av Melachos. So the Gemara asks our famous question that we've been dealing with many times. Why does the Mishnah have to specify the number 39? We could just easily count through and find that there are 39 there. Why does it have to specify it? Rabbi Yochanan says it's to teach that if you did all of these malachos by accident, you'd be liable to bring a separate carbon chatas for each. Now, the Mishnah said sowing and then plowing. So the Gemara is going to say, why doesn't it say first plowing and then sowing? We know that when you're planting, the first thing you do is plow and then sow. So why does it say you sow? Why does it list sowing and then plowing? Because the Gemara answers, the Tana of our Mishnah, the one who authored our Mishnah, was from Eretz Yisrael, was from Israel, and there they sow before they plow. The Braisa says sowing, pruning, sowing the land, pruning plants, planting, bending over a vine into the ground. They used to bend over a vine, or like a branch kind of, and put it into the ground, and then it would take root. The bent over part would take root, and they'd cut it down the middle so that it would be growing as two separate things. And grafting are all under the category of sowing. So why does he need to teach us this? What's the point of that? It's to teach that you'd only bring one carbon chatas for many different toldos, many different subcategories in one av melacha, in one category. That basically for all the subcategories within one category, you bring one carbon chatas. Rabbi Ami says pruning a tree falls under planting, and planting, bending over the vine, and grafting fall under the category of sowing. And the Gemara is going to ask, it's sowing but not planting? No, the Gemara means it's also, you're also liable for sowing in those cases. Rav Kahana says if you pruned a vine and you also took wood for a fire, as you're pruning that branch and the vine, you took the wood that came off for fire, you'd be liable to bring two chatas karbanos, one for reaping and one for planting, because by pruning the vine, you're making it better for planting, and you're also reaping because you're taking the wood. Rav Yosef says if you cut an aspasta, you'd have to bring two chatas karbanos, one for reaping and one for planting, because you're benefiting by taking it, which is reaping, and by cutting it, that's what allows it to grow even better, so you're liable for planting. The Mishnah talks about plowing. The Braisa says plowing, digging a hole and making a furrow all fall under the isser of the malacha of plowing. Rav Shesha says if you had a small mound and you took it away, the malacha depends. If this mound was in your house, then you're liable for building because you're making your floor better. If it was in the field, then you're liable for plowing because you're making the field better to be able to be sowed. And the whole thing about plowing is preparing your field to be sown. Rava says if you had a hole and you filled it with dirt, it depends. If it was in your house, then you're going to be liable for building because, again, you're making your floor better. If it was in the field, you're going to be liable to plowing because, again, you're making your field better and prepared to be sown. Rabbi Abba says that if you dig a hole, but not for the hole, for its dirt, then you're going to be putter, right? Because you're not doing it for its intended purpose of making the hole. You're doing it for the dirt, so you don't have to bring a chatas. However, and the Gemara notes that even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a malacha done not for its defined purpose, you're going to be chaya for, Rabbi Yehuda even here would agree that in this case where you're digging a hole for its dirt, you're going to be putter, because he only holds that you're chaya for a malacha which is done not for its defined purpose when you're making something better. But here you're making a hole, you're making something worse. It's a destructive act, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're going to be putter. The Mishnah talks about reaping. The Braisa says reaping, cutting, harvesting, collecting, and gathering all fall under the category of reaping. Rapapa says if you threw a clod of earth at a palm tree and that ended up, the clod of earth that you threw severed some dates and made them fall off, you're going to be liable to two chatas karbanos, one for detaching, which is a subcategory of reaping, and one for extracting, which is a subcategory of threshing. Rav Ashi says no, this is not the normal way of detaching or extracting. You're just throwing dirt and it's knocking some dates down, but that's not the normal way of detaching or extracting, so therefore you are going to be putter. The Mishnah speaks about gathering. Rava says if you gather salt from the salt ditches, that is the malacha of gathering. Abai says no, gathering only applies to items that grow from the ground, not salt that you find in these ditches. The Mishnah speaks about threshing. The Braisa says threshing, beating the flax and striking the cotton all fall under the category of threshing. The Mishnah speaks about winnowing, selecting, grinding, and sifting. But the Gemara is going to ask, these are all four of these are the same. They're all different ways of separating out food, good food from the bad food. They're all the same. Why are we listing them as four separate ones? Abai and Rava answer together that anything which was done in the Mishnah, any act which was done in the Mishnah, in the Mishkan, even though it's the same as another act, is going to be included in the 39. Meaning, even though these four things are the same, since they were all done in the Mishnah, they're all counted as part of the 39. So why doesn't the Mishnah also include pounding, where you pound wheat to make the wheat better and prepared for baking and things like that? That was done in the Mishkan, so why does it not include that in the 39? Abai says, because the Mishnah is only listing acts which were necessary for bread making. However, a poor person is not going to start pounding wheat to make his bread. So since a bread can be made without pounding the wheat, it was not included in the list of 39. Rava brings a different answer. He says the Mishnah is going like Rebbe. Rebbe was the author of the Mishnah, and Rebbe derived that there were only 39 malachos from Sukkim, and if he included pounding, that would have made 40. However, that's not a really a compelling argument, because the Gemara says then if Rebbe wanted to keep 39, he should have included pounding and just taken out one of those four, one of the winnowing, selecting, grinding, and sifting, which are all the same. He could have taken one of those out and included pounding and then been left with only 39. So that's why the Gemara answer, the clear answer is like Abaye, that it was only including things necessary for bread making, and pounding wheat was not a necessary procedure in making bread. Shkayach.